Hi, everybody. This is Pam at the Paper Outpost, and this is the Paper Outpost podcast, The Joy of Junk Journals. Talking to you about paper crafting, junk journaling, life of a crafter, and answering your crafty questions. Now, we're talking about dried leaves and how to get them onto a piece of paper in a journal. Not an easy task, but doesn't have to be super hard either. Okay, so a couple of things. A dried leaf, like picture a maple leaf, which can be, if it's dried, it might be curled, it might be crunchy, and it might be fragile, and it might fracture. A couple things you can do. You can take that dried, curly, crunchy leaf and soak it in water, and that leaf will relax and be a little more floppy and, dare I say, flat. And if you really want it flatty, flat, 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 you just put that little leaf, you know, maybe between two tea towels and put some weight on it, some books, a case of water, whatever you got, you know, a box of crafter stuff, and just let it dry and it'll be flatty, flat, flat. Now, depending on what you glue it with, this may make a difference as to, well, you know, honestly, even if it's a damp leaf, let's just say it's damp and you're wondering while your fingers are scratching your hair, what glue should you use? You can use Mod Podge. Now remember, Mod Podge is made with water. So a damp leaf on Mod Podge, which is already wet with water, you put it on there and let it dry. And then if you want to, you can coat it again on top with Mod Podge, and that will seal the leaf in there, almost making it like a rubber sheet so that when the page rolls to turn, it will be sandwiched in there in its flexible state and not crunch, mostly. Okay, that's like when everything goes perfectly. The other alternative is you can use Fabri-Fix glue. It doesn't have water, but that means it's not going to be bothered by the water in the leaf, and you can still glue it down and get a nice seal. And if you want, you can cover it on top with Mod Podge or not. I've glued down many botanicals into journals and not put a sealant on top. You can totally do the sealant, or you can totally skip the sealant, depending on how well adhered the, I would say the flexible botanical is underneath it. Now, if it's not super, okay, I was working with some dried leaves the other day, and they were a little dry, and they were hard to glue down. I struggled. I ended up getting glue all over my fingers and separating some of the leaves from the stem because everything just stuck to my fingers. But I was able to, in most cases, I think, grab the missing leaves and place them back where they should have been or pretty darn close to it. Maybe I made a new leaf structure there. That's highly possible. But what I want to encourage you to do is not shy away from dried botanicals, but you think they're too crunchy or too dry, you can actually get them to work quite nicely. And another thing you can do in your junk journals, they can work quite nicely. And also, if you want to spice it up, bling it up a little bit, you can sprinkle glitter into the Mod Podge. Maybe just separate a little bit of the Mod Podge, a couple tablespoons full or something in a little bowl, and add a little bit of glitter to it, and instantly you've got glitter glue. I mean, it's pretty easy to do. The difference between that and stickles really is the applicator or the delivery system of the glitter glue. It's a little easier to put little dots of glitter glue with the stickles bottle. And there's probably, you can buy your own version of little bottles with thin applicator tips. Or you just buy the stickles, let's face it, because it's already mixed and done and in the right bottle. Sometimes that's a blessing in and of itself, even though stickles does take a long time to dry. I think Mod Podge dries faster than stickles glue. I don't exactly know what stickles glue is in there mixed in with the glitter, whether it's like a Fabri-Fix silicone-based or is it a water-based glue like a Mod Podge or a white glue. Don't know. We'll scratch our heads on that one. Maybe somebody can come forward from the glue world and tell us. So just kind of thinking about that. Okay, so here's an interesting question. Jill Crapo asks, hello, Pam. So I have an old Bible, old Bible. The paper in it is very aged. It is the old type that people used on their coffee table with a really thick cover, probably about 1 inch thick on both the front and the back cover. Boy, that's a really thick cover. Have you ever used pages out of a book similar to that? I am Christian, and it's concerning that it's sacrilegious to cut it into and use the paper, but I have up-to-date scriptures that I use and will never use this Bible for scriptures. It has gold leafing and some watermarks and tarnished page edges. Just a little uneasy about this. What do you think? Okay, great question. And this is something that probably most of us at some point face this issue. Whether or not it's a Bible or not, sometimes it's just an old historical book that you're thinking, why am I thinking about quote-unquote destroying, slaughtering, butchering this book just for the use of its inner pages? Having some guilt and remorse about that, destroying something of historical value. If you layer in it's a Bible, that brings about, you know, is it okay to do that from a religious, you know, spiritual perspective to quote-unquote destroy a holy book? I mean, that's a whole other ball of wax, right? And I think everybody will come to their own personal conclusion, what they feel is right or comfortable or whatever have you not. And I would say my own personal journey was, it was very difficult in the beginning, very difficult. But eventually I took apart some very old books. And what made it easier, not that that's right or wrong, it was just what I did. I did feel that a lot of these books would never see the light of day again. Nobody would ever actually open them and look through them. Many of them were falling apart already, so there was some justification of that. Oh, the book's already falling apart, so nobody will read it, so it's okay that I take the pages out. Oh, I'm spreading the word of the Lord by freeing the pages, came another rationalization. And, you know, then probably the thing that makes me okay with it more than anything is that I know on some strange level, getting one page from this old book with having a chance to be seen by somebody is going to be worlds closer to anybody ever being able to just look in the book. This book is probably, it's maybe I got it at a thrift store or a box of old books on eBay, something like that, where, you know, I don't know where the end purpose of these books would have ended up. A lot of them over the years have gotten shredded by book shredders. That's what the library does a lot. They'll have some free book giveaways, and anything that doesn't get taken will often be picked up by the book shredder. Or if they have a whole section that they're getting rid of fast and they don't want to deal with having these piled up in the book bin, the shredder will come and they get shredded to pulp. So to me, having one page from a book, even whether it be a Bible, and in somebody's hand who could look at that one page and just maybe find something inspirational, maybe simply being awed by the beautiful Gothic font or text, just enjoying the quality of the aged paper, even smelling the page, you know, like old books have a kind of old book smell. It's very tactile. It's very five cents. You know, okay, we're not going to eat the book. We're not going to taste the book. I yield. Okay. But it's a different perspective, and I'm just okay with it. And I sleep nights, and all is well. You got to be able to sleep nights. If you're like saying, Pam, I just can't do it. It just feels wrong. I have a cousin who said, never destroy a book, her whole life. She said, I was cleaning out my closet and I had these books and I couldn't just throw them in the garbage. I had to do something with them, like, you know, send them to, you know, other countries or something like that. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a perfectly justifiable, and she sleeps nights and she's okay with that. And I take apart old books and I'm okay with that. Do I have some books that I won't take apart? Sure. Do I have lots that I will? Yeah, I do. And I really love to honor the single page. It's just sort of something special that you come across in a junk journal. And it's just an aesthetic. It's just something that I like to add in there these old papers, these old handwritten letters, these old book pages, these old music pages. I don't know, just something about it I get so excited about, and I'm hoping others will as well when they come across the book in their world somewhere. Maybe it was given to them as a gift, or they just wanted to purchase it for themselves and they're just looking through and just going, oh, isn't this a cool piece? And maybe they read a passage and they enjoy that book yet again. So in a way, you know, you free the pages from the book. Maybe the book has 300 pages and that's 300 people that may experience that book, which may not have otherwise ever experienced it. So that is how I sleep at night. Okay, there you go. That's the truth. Great question. Definitely many of us have faced that. So I hope that helps. Okay, Cheryl Barber. Is that an opal ring? Is it your birthstone? So pretty. It probably was an opal ring. It's not my birthstone. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I've been into rings lately. I'm just getting all these fun rings just for fun. And I never really had a lot of rings in my life. So I just thought I'd get a bunch of rings and kind of have fun with them. So that's all that story was behind that. Oh, great question. Lorna Lewis. And how/when do you know it's finished? She's speaking about when is the journal done? When have I put enough decoration in it, on it? When have I put enough, you know, if you use ephemera, have I put enough ephemera in? Have I put too much in? Have I put the right amount in? When? And I found like the book tells you when it's done. I know it sounds kind of goofy and, you know, fanciful, but the book will tell you when it's done. And it's surprisingly never when I expect it. And sometimes I'm just going along and I'm decorating and I'm totally lost in the process and everything is enjoyable and life is cruising. And, or sometimes I'll be looking for a place to place something and I've realized the book is done. And it just said, you don't even need to place it in there. It's okay. You're done with the book now. I've taken books to their breaching limit. I know it's strange. I don't know why I do that. But there's something about an overstuffed book that makes me feel like the book was well loved. And I always envision, in a fanciful way, that the book was swaddled in this old cloth and found in the knoll of a tree in a deep dark forest, and it came from a long time ago, and it was somebody's thoughts and musings and things that they had collected over the years that were meaningful to them for reasons unknown to me. But I could just wonder with my imagination why they put them in there. And this is kind of the strange little story I tell myself when I'm making these crazy overstuffed chunky monkey books. There's other styles of books that I make that are undecorated, and I will just decorate the cover, put in the signatures, and then let somebody else have the fun of decorating them, because sometimes people don't want to actually make the book. They just want to play on the pages and have at it and do fun things. Sometimes it's complicated or difficult or you know, you just can't quite get the needle to go through the signature, you know, whatever it is. And you'd really just rather have the cover and the signatures and let you decorate it. And I know that's a want, need, and desire out there. So I might make some of those coming up again. I haven't made those in a while, but I will do that again because I know folks want to be able to do that. And you can also kind of look at an actual book, like a book that was just made at the manufacturer's place, wherever the book place is that they make these. And that's kind of that scenario of a book that's ready to be decorated. And maybe you're familiar with the concept of altered books. Basically, we'll take a book that is already bound, has a cover, and then we'll just go through and maybe you keep every three pages and then you remove a couple, one or two. Anyway, what you're doing is you're culling the herd of the number of pages in the book. You're reducing the number of pages so that when you go and add things, it won't overbulk itself. And it can really overbulk itself fast if you don't remove some pages. I've tried it. Trust me, I've tried it. But you can have a lot of fun without the fuss of doing the cover getting the signatures, getting them sewn in so it's, everything is aligned and all that kind of stuff. It's all that work is done for you. All you have to go do is either cut out or tear out, you know, so many pages out of the book. It's a little cumbersome to do that, I will kid you not. And I generally use a craft knife and a ruler to do it. You can also tear it. Doesn't always go smoothly, but it can be done. And see if you like that style. It's fun. It's different. Now your pages do have text on them, so you're building off of that. You can use that as the background for collages, or you can put pockets on the text, and you could put blank papers in the pockets if you want to give them more place to write, if that is your goal. So don't worry about that. Give it a try if you've never tried an altered book. And maybe we should do one of those. I haven't done one of those in a long time. I don't know if I've ever done one on film. I went to a class once, a paper crafting class, and we did an altered book. But I think I remember coming out of that saying, I really want to make the cover. I really want to make the signatures. I want to learn how to make a book from scratch. And so I kind of followed that path. But altered books are there in their own right, very enjoyable, have a purpose, and are very fun. Now, another thing you can do with an already constructed book from the bookshop, you know, wherever books are made and sold, we get a book. Let's say, number one, maybe you want a place to glue your scraps. And this is a fun way to make mini masterboards. Like, you've done a project, you've got a bunch of scraps, they're either going in the scrap box or the garbage, you know, you don't know what you're going to do with them. Instead of that, you can just put glue stick all over a page in a book and then glue your scraps right down there, almost in a roof tile design or collage design or different things, and then forget about it. Forget about it until you need it one day. And you'll be surprised how handy it is to have these pre-done collaged pages. You can use those for pockets and tucks and belly bands and, you know, journal cards and things like that. So many fun things. A million and one things you can use them for. But they are a great way to have a place to store those stockpiles of scraps that we do have sometimes when we're crafting. Then the other thing you can do with an already pre-made book, and let's say you consider every page a canvas, and maybe you're going to experiment with rubber stamping on the text. Maybe you're going to watercolor on the text. Maybe you're going to rubber stamp and then watercolor inside the rubber stamped area. Maybe you're going to get out your gelatos and cover the page in gelato colors. It's just like a creamy lipstick almost. It melts with the heat of your fingers. And people say that you can use water with it. I haven't tried that yet, but apparently you can move the pigment with water. So it could be a book of experimentation. And then all those beautiful pages that you just had fun with, you can pull those out and tear those at any time and use those for collage or pockets or tucks or belly bands or whatever have you. You can make little envelopes out of the pages. I mean, there's just so many darn fun things that you can do that it's a never endless chain of new things to play with your paper as they pour out of your imagination. And it's a good thing. Paper is ubiquitous. It's everywhere. Generally, most of us have access to it, whether it's coming in via junk mail or packaging with your Amazon boxes or the wrappers and packaging from the things that you buy. You know, there's sources of it everywhere. Go rummage through your kids' stuff, your husband's stuff, your wife's stuff, your brother's stuff. I mean, a lot of people have stores of paper that they really just don't use anymore. And often when you ask, you shall receive it. And like, I was very blessed the other day. Somebody gave me these beautiful, beautiful fabric books. And I'm so excited because they're gorgeous. And I got to do something wonderful with those. So maybe I'll make some beautiful fabric sets again. And these are stunning, Stunorama stunning. And let's see how that goes. I have an idea in my head. I'm floating around. But we'll let that come to pass as it comes to pass. But yeah, maybe we're going to play with the altered books thing and maybe try these different things on camera and see what you think. And maybe you're going to find a new little rabbit hole to go down, because who doesn't love a good paper rabbit hole, you know? With everything that's going on in our lives and all our responsibilities, we deserve a place where we can just sit back, relax, and play with the paper. Just unwind, exhale, have fun, let all the worries of the day just stay behind that craft room door. They're locked out, or even on your craft room lap, they're not allowed to come near you. Just keep having fun, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.